Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one that came tonight. And there's maybe not many of us, but the Lord bless those that's been able to come. And please remember Brother Yule in prayer this evening. Brother Yule's not feeling too well. And Philip as well. Philip's not feeling too well. He didn't say to me, but I know just to look at him, and he's something still wrong with that hand. I think he's allergic to something in his work. And, you know, it's good to work, but there's some jobs people don't care one thing about you. You're only a number. And I'm telling you, it's good the Lord cares about us, isn't it? And we just want to pray for Philip and Yule this evening and any others as well. And you know, Saturday, I went to see David Jones on Saturday at the hospital, and he looked good, considering they'd moved him from the Daisy Hill till the hospice in Newry. And I didn't realise that there was two places, but they specialise really with people that's got cancer and everything. And then on Monday, I was going to go and see him again on Monday, and I was arranging to go, and Eileen messaged me and said, if you don't come now, you'll not see him. And that was about 12 o'clock, and I set off, get ready to go and see him. And while I was on the way up, he had passed away. He passed away at 10 past 1 on Monday. And Eileen went in to see him as well on Sunday, and he wanted a steak. On Sunday night, he wanted a steak. Nothing would do him, he was having a steak. And she had to go and get him a peppered steak. Now, he didn't eat all of it, she said, but he ate some of it. And but that was it. He wanted to see it, and I've went to visit him quite a few times, as you know, and I've talked with him, and he said he was ready to go, and he accepted the Lord as a Savior in 1998. He made a clear decision of salvation. And I hadn't saw David, you know, for some years, and when Ian was plastering his house, Eileen was expecting Aaron. So Aaron's 12. That must be about 13 years ago. That's when him and Eileen started coming along to the meetings, about 13 years ago, and that's when we sort of met up again. I hadn't saw him for some years, but I never thought I'd be doing his funeral today. And I'll be honest with you, I was really nervous at the start of the service today, and I might have missed out some things, what maybe I was meant to say, but I hope the important things were said. And they didn't want all the names read out because there's so many different names to read out. But I tried to read the main different ones out and everything. But there's so many people there from school days. So many people came to me at the graveside. There's one man listens in the meetings every Sunday night, and he believes he's saved, but he says he needs assurance. And he says he's going to come to the meetings. He's going to start coming along to the meetings. His dad's 85, and he listens into the meetings as well on a Sunday night. So you just don't know what's happening. There's another young woman as well. I don't know if she's cancer or not. I don't want to say she has in case she hasn't, but she came to me as well the day. I know her from years ago, and she'd heard my testimony somewhere. She just listened to it a few days ago. There's a fella got my testimony when I gave it down in Lisburn. Do you remember, brother? And he's put it on DVD, and he gives it out when he goes on the streets and things, this fella. So I don't know all where it's went, but if somebody gets saved, it's worth it. That's the main thing. We believe in healing, certainly, but God could heal you and you could take sick again and still die. But if you're saved, that's the part that's the most important, isn't it? Salvation. And, you know, it's hard at a funeral because some people don't want you to preach at a funeral. They don't want to hear anything at a funeral, some people. And you have to say things that you know you have to say. I know a lot of ministers don't say it, but you know, a minister doesn't say what he's meant to say, he'll answer to God for it. That's the truth, isn't it? So you have to say what you feel led to say, because the Bible says the watchman's the blood on his hands if he doesn't warn them, but if he warns them, the blood's up his hands. And I'll tell you, there's quite a lot of people there that I don't know many people there. I was surprised when I came out of the The wee building maybe just had 70 people in there, something inside, but when I come out, there's a lot of people was outside and a lot of people at the graveside. We want to just continue to pray for Eileen. I got a real good talk with her sister as well. You remember we prayed for a man, Dennis, who's killed of a quad just about a year ago. Well, that's Eileen's youngest sister, was his wife, and she's blaming God and different things. And I got to talk with her a bit and pray with her up at the hospital on Monday. And you just don't know what the Lord can do. But we know that God definitely answers prayer. I want to just try and encourage you tonight. I want to take some scriptures about prayer. We can turn to Genesis chapter 15. Now, Brother John will be preaching on Sunday morning. And maybe if some people come on Sunday morning and need prayer and want a Brother John, if he feels led to pray for people to do it, I want there to be that freedom. But if anybody is preaching and you want to pray for somebody, I want you to do that. Because, how can I say it, but when there's an anointing in the meeting, that's the time to do it. When the Spirit of God's moving and faith's high, and sometimes it's harder when you're not there. God can still do it, we know that, but the Bible says anointing breaks the yoke, doesn't it? And we want to take inventory every chance we get. Take it. Because we don't know how long we have here in this earth and what's going to happen, but we just thank the Lord. Let's read verse 1 to 6 of Genesis 15. And I want to talk about God answering prayer according to need. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. We're going to read also in a moment from Romans 4, verse 1 to 6. But let's bow our heads this evening. If you have a need tonight, and I know there's not many of us, just lift your hand up before the Lord and every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have never changed. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have a privilege that we can approach you this evening because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost tonight to help me. And I thank you for your help. I pray you'll bless each and every one in this room. And as even as our brothers prayed, that you will comfort Sister Eileen, Samuel and Aaron, and all the Jones family, wee Leslie and his wife, and Dennis and Earl, Kathy, Diana, Lord, and Stephanie, each and every one of them, comfort them and strengthen them, and save every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we just lift them before you. We pray especially for Brother Yule tonight. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll touch our dear brother. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, may he know the touch of God. Pray also for Philip as well and this condition in his hand. Lord, we know that you're a Savior and you're also a healer. And we ask you to heal them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, bless your people now. Strengthen those that's here and those that might hear this at another time and get thyself all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. I want to read Romans, and you can keep your finger in Romans chapter 4. And well, this is well known. All of us know these scriptures. Romans 4, verses 1 to 6. What shall we then What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Praise God. This is, I believe, let me say, the first record of prayer in the Bible, which is uttered here by Abraham, the father of the faithful. Lord, what will you give me? Abraham has a need in his own house, not another house. I want you to get this. It's good for us to pray for other people, for other places, but many times we need to pray for ourselves and our own house. And Abraham's prayer for his own house happened. Not only did it happen, but it spread further abroad. But it started with his own house. And I tell you, every one of us need God to move in our own houses, on our children, on those that's near and dear to us. And Abraham had this need. What will you give me? This is what he asked God. God has revealed himself to Abraham in the first verse as a shield and rewarder, protector and provider. God revealed himself to Abraham. There's something very blessed and special when God reveals himself to you. It changes you. Hallelujah. And I tell you, every one of us need a visitation of the Lord. A special visitation, it does something. You could be ready to pack it in, and God in a moment could change your thinking. In a moment. That's how powerful God is. Protector, a shield from danger, provider, someone who provides to supply reward, or someone given to, in return for good merit or performance or service. And God rewarded Abraham. You know that in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says without faith, God is a rewarder. Hebrews 11 verse 6, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God wants us to continually seek his face. That scripture was given to me many, many years ago. I'll tell you about that. I was going to see Brother Geordie in Bonbridge. He was going through a divorce and a hard time. I was going to see him. I didn't even have a car of my own. My father was taking me up to see him. And that's the scripture the Lord gave me back then. That's near 30 years ago, well over 20 years ago, because I'm married, coming 27 years. So it's near 30 years ago. And this is the scripture the Lord gave me that particular night. And it's blessed me many times, that very scripture. It is not a waste of time to pray. It will buy you back time. I'll put it like that. Praying and seeking God in the secret place is the most valuable thing for any believer. Amen. Rewarder. Psalms 61 verse 3. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If you go to Psalms 61 verse 3. And I'm doing it like this tonight to slow myself down a bit. I don't want to be too quick and then jump over it. Psalm 61, verse 3. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. It is the Lord that's our shelter. Now, I went and prayed for David many times. I spoke to him many times. I know that God could have raised him up in a moment. I know that. But I know that a lot of people that was at that funeral that day would never darken the door of a church. But they heard the gospel that day. Now, I don't know why God does things the way he does it, but he's smarter than me, and he's smarter than you. And sometimes we can't explain why God does things the way he does. We would definitely do it different, because than what we could ever think. The Bible says His ways is higher than ours. As the heavens is higher than the earth. God's ways is higher than ours. Now we know God can heal and God does heal. And we've seen the Lord heal many people. And there's people that's been healed from cancer. We know God's able to do it. But that's God's chosen protection and provision promised by the Lord God. In Matthew 6 verse 34, the Lord Jesus Himself tells us in Matthew chapter 6 verse 44, if you turn to it, you know, and a lot of people get stressed out how they look and how they this and that. Well, here's what the Word of God says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We can get in a rat race. It's hard not to in the age we're living in, especially with bills and things to pay and everything. That's the truth, isn't it? And I said the other week, the price of fuel is a joke. You pass a garage, it's 171, and you go 2 miles up the road and it's 181. Now somebody's pulling a bluff somewhere. Somebody's greedy somewhere, like a brother Andrew preached, greed stuck over. But we're not to worry about anything. The Bible says be content with such things as you have. Amen. And when you read of the great men in the Bible, they never prayed for God to make them rich. Solomon prayed for wisdom and God gave him everything else with it. And I tell you, what would it matter this evening if you owned ever so many things and you dropped dead and you weren't saved? What would it matter? What would it matter if you had a lift of achievements this evening that you could plaster all these walls with if your time was up and you were going? It wouldn't make any difference to you. It couldn't carry you to latch that door. But yet a man that would have nothing that's saved has more than a man with everything that's not saved, like the rich man and Lazarus in the Bible. Rich in God's what we want. I believe God can bless us. I believe that. But we don't serve Him to get the blessing. And we certainly don't preach the modern gospel, the money gospel. I know it would come in handy at times, there's no doubt about it. Especially today. But regardless, we're to serve the Lord regardless. Amen. And Abraham, you know, take no thought for tomorrow. God said to Abraham, I am your protector and your provider. You know, I often tell the story. I'll tell you who the story was about, brother, because you sat under it. It was Leslie Hale. And Leslie Hale told a story about the woman in black. And I know I've told that story before. I don't know if Brother Larry's ever heard this story. This is a true story. It's in Leslie Hale's own life story. And he had a lot of things to pay. That's when he had all that school going and all them things going. And he had bills to pay each month. I don't know how much money. It was a lot of money. We have it easy here. I'm being honest with you. We're paying nothing. What we're giving is nothing as a fellowship. How many agrees with me here tonight? We're paying nothing. For this hall and stuff, it's nothing. You imagine you had 30,000 to catch every month and you had to pay it to be in somewhere. Well, they were paying anyhow. And if God does it, He makes a way. We know that. But Leslie Hale, he said each month he was getting it tight and the money hadn't come in. A woman would appear in black. She'd give them the money. Not to him, but to some members of the staff. And each month he came and he decided he'd catch her. That he would wait for her coming. That he could meet her, because he'd never actually met her himself. The staff would tell him the wee woman in dress and black appeared and left the money in to pay the bills. So this month he waited and he waited, and the time came and the time went, and no woman appeared in black, and God spoke to him. And you know what God said to them? I'm your provider. Amen. I'm your provider. God used a woman that was dressed in black to do it, but she was not the provider. God was a provider. And you see, if people have an attitude, well, I give it and it's mine, well, then they might as well have held on to it. Once it's given, it's not yours, it's God's. It belongs to God. Now, Leslie Hale was used to God, I can tell you that. My father went to the wee church, the Mill Turnings Remore, and Leslie Hale came to it. And he told him a vision he had or a dream. And he said all the floorboards was turned up in that place. And he interpreted it, said it would be a renovation, a revival, but it wasn't. Years later, my dad said he went through the mills after the church closed and everything. And he went through it and all the floorboards was turned up. It was a wreck of a place. The vision or dream he had was litter. It didn't need interpreted. But God's our provider tonight. The same God that provided for Abraham has to be our provider, because I'll tell you why. We're the royal seed of Abraham. And the fact that we're the royal seed of Abraham, that's the same God we're serving tonight. If it's not, we're in trouble. I'll tell you that right now, but he is the same. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob remains the same. I was telling a man the other week of the testimony of when Marcello came to England. And my dad was in that service, but I also know that Victor Jacob's wife was in that service as well. And Marcello got onto the platform, and the place my dad stayed in, there was a fellow there, he had one leg shorter than the other. And knew the first thing Marcello said, he said, "The Beatles." You ever hear of the Beatles, brother? Now, I know you've heard of the Beatles that you stand on with your foot. But there was boys called the Beatles that thought they were Elvis Presley, but they weren't Elvis. No harm to them. They couldn't sing, in my opinion. They could bother about a bit. But they thought they were something, because everybody went mad for them. But Marcello stood on the platform in England, and there's a lot of people there, and he said, "The Beatles are going about saying God's dead. But," he says, "I'm here tonight to prove to you God's not dead." Amen. And he got the man up the one leg shorter another and put him in front of the whole place and a chair. And my dad stayed with him, and he knew him. And the one leg was shorter than the other. He'd had an accident with his young man. And Marcello prayed. He said, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the one true living God, Jesus Christ." And that boy, you'd think somebody threw him out of the chair. Instantly his leg jumped out, he was healed, and he ran all over the building and they couldn't get him stopped. Now I want you to think of this for a moment. In one of William Branham's sermons, my father read in a sermon in a book, Spoken Word they were called, of a young man whose mother put a prayer cloth on him, a wall had fallen on him, or a machine, I can't remember which, but he was squashed anyhow, all his bones were broke. The prayer cloth was laid on him and he was completely healed. My father was telling this testimony in England. The fellow in the house that played it was either organ or the piano. He turned around and said, "I'm the man. I am the man the cloth was laid on." I don't believe God makes mistakes. I believe you even meet people for a purpose, and you meet people for a reason, and I believe the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And if God has a seed somewhere that he wants to reach and talk till, he'll do whatever it takes to get that seed.
Amen.
And his picture's bigger than our picture.
Yeah.
And we have to learn to have confidence in his will, though we can't understand it, yes, to just go along with the leading of the Lord. For he leads his dear children along. Abraham believed God, and God rewarded him. I want you to believe God tonight, whatever your need is. Maybe even in this room, somebody has a need. They've told nobody about it. It's a big need. Well, I'll tell you what Abraham's need, it was big. His wife had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. It ceased to be with Sarah. She couldn't have children. She was too old. And God waited 25 more years after he told Abraham, before he done it. What do you think of that? So everybody would expect to click your fingers and it's done. God waited, but God still done it.
Amen.
That which is impossible with man is possible with God. God is supernatural. And I often said, with supernatural ability and supernatural authority, hallelujah, the basic revelation to every Christian is that God nations. Abraham had a problem or a need. In verse 2 of our scripture in Genesis 15, Abraham had a need of a son. He brought his need to God. God said he would give him a son, and he gave him a son. God establishes himself as the great provider. He establishes himself. When something is established, you'll know it and you'll see it. And all that God would establish himself again in our midst. How many believe that tonight? We want God to establish himself. And he is established. Not that he has to do it. He already is established. How many knows that? But we need more of him in our midst. How many understands what I'm trying to say tonight? I'm not saying he's not established. He is certainly established. But we need him moving amongst us in the power of God.
Yes.
And men and women come into the Lord. That's the greatest miracle of all, is to see somebody saved. There's no thrill for the preacher like the thrill of seeing somebody saved.
Amen.
Their eternal destiny changed. Now God already knew it, but me and you didn't, but it turned around. 1 minute on the slope down, the next minute seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in a moment. Transformed by the power of God. That's what God's able to do. God said he would give him a son. God establishes himself as a great provider. According to his first prayer uttered, God answered according to his need. Abraham, what do you need? I'm going to do it for you. I am going to do it for you, Abraham. You know the scripture that I often quoted in the Hebrews, God could swear by no greater, so he swore by himself. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. We have a word here tonight that can't be broken. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need. Your need. Now, what is your need? Now, there might be things we don't need. If you don't need it, what would you want it for? Isn't that right? Why would you want it if you don't need it? Now, I'm not saying God couldn't give you it, but he'd supply your need. What's your need? I'll tell you, I have a need tonight. Above everything, I could do a lot of things. I could name you a list to fill that wall, what I could do with. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'll put it in front of the whole lot of people getting saved. I'll put it in front of everything.
Amen.
That's the truth, and God knows my heart. That's at the top of my list. There's nothing in front of it. Nothing. There's nothing else counts more than that. People getting saved. What will it matter what you gain in this whole world? The Bible says the man losing his own soul. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? That fellow that passed away, Dennis, which was Maury Darling's sister, his wife was telling me they have 1,200 people works for them. That's a lot. He had 4 businesses going. She's still trying to run it after a year. But he went out in a quad and he never came home that evening. Just a young man, younger than me. He never thought he was going to go out for a bit of fun and never come home. And he'd established his business and all the things, and he did a lot of good things. You know, that man did things out in foreign countries and all, I can tell you that. Supplied to places, and I don't even want to go into it all the night, but he went one place and he was disgusted at them. Because the people in charge of it looked after him so well, but the people he was sending the funds for to get water and things, they weren't getting it according to the way he wanted it. And he went over their heads and supplied the people themselves. That's the type of man he was. We don't know tonight. We're not guaranteed we'll get home tonight. That's the truth. People say, you know, I heard of a young preacher. He's probably my age or younger. And he's, I want to go home, Lord. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You won't hear me saying that. I don't want to go yet. I want to see people saved.
Hallelujah.
I want to see people saved before I go. I'm not ready to go yet. I want to think, and I haven't even got started yet, that God's going to really do something. That's the way I'm looking at it. And that's the way I'm believing God. There's lots can be done yet. The fields are white to harvest. That's the Bible. And we can preach so much about the end time and we miss the present. We know we're in the end time. But what are we going to do about it? We need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of God. We need to go out to a lost and dying generation and tell them about Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you one thing, there's no gimmicks. God doesn't need a gimmick. There's no gimmicks within this Bible that was a real thing. Isn't that right? When them men got the real Holy Ghost power, they didn't need a gimmick. The power of God was all they needed. And the gospel, which is the power of God. Amen. Praise God. Riches and glory. God has the answer to every single need. Think of that. How am I going to do it? Pray and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord about it. Amen? God will do it. I remember I owned a house in Dromore, and I wish I owned it now, to be honest with you. But I sold it for hardly anything. And I bought it for hardly anything. 19,000. You wouldn't even get a car for that. You would get a car, but you know what I mean. You could pay 60,000 for a car. But I sold it and I said, Lord, if you want me to move, sell this house quick. Sold the next day at 12 o'clock. That's the fastest sold. I can tell you, if God wants you to do something, he'd make the way. All the first times I went to Africa and I said in the fellowship I'm going to go, God made the way for me to go before I got home. Now God could have used somebody even in the meeting to do it, but God still done it. He had to speak to that person, put it in their heart to do it. So the Lord was working. But when God wants you to do something, he makes the way. Some people say, I want to do something, but I haven't the way to do it. If God wants you to do it, he makes the way for you to do it.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. I'm not telling you to do something, he won't make the way to do it. God will make the way. Now, sometimes it can be difficult, but God will make the way. You know, when I first received a prophecy in 1991, thou shalt go to the darkest continents of Africa and Asia, and thousands will come. And I was sitting saying, well, there's no way I can go. Sure, I've no money to go. How am I going to go? And the Spirit of God says, I'll send you, never mind how you're going. And I've been. Now, I believe by God's grace I can go again. But that'll be in God's hands. But God can make the way. God can make the way for any brothers, you sisters tonight. Whatever the need is, God can make the way. Because he's God. And he's not just God, he is Almighty God.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. A supernatural being with supernatural ability and supernatural authority. And Abraham knew him. He walked with him. You know, I was thinking one weekend, maybe I didn't say it just right. I hope everybody understood what I was saying, that I said about people not going to heaven until the blood was shed, and talking about Abraham's bosom. But you know, the Lord talked to me that week, and I'll tell you, Elijah went ever before the cross. How many knows that? And any. God took them. God can do anything. Enoch walked with God and he disappeared. How many knows he disappeared? The Bible says he was taken. God took him. Elijah was caught up in the horses, chariots of fire, into heaven. And Elisha caught his mantle fall down. And Elisha had asked for the double portion. When people say God can't do it again, well, I'll tell you what. You think of what Elijah done. And I'll guarantee there's a lot of people say it'll never happen again, but Elisha didn't say that. What did he do for me? He said double. He was one miracle short, brother. But when the body fell on the bones, how many knows that? And the man came alive. That was double the miracles.
Yeah.
God makes no mistakes. They threw in a body, you know, a few boys up to no good. I heard an old preacher preaching about a year ago, and he said they threw it in top of his bones, and when it hit his bones, the boy came alive. But I tell you, God did the double miracles, didn't he? God is able to do it. I'm not going to preach no more. Lots of things more I could say, but I want to give time for to pray for Brother Ewell, Brother Philip, and any others in the family. And pray for our Brother John as well for Sunday morning. We want the Lord to move. You know, and I know people saying to me today, different people saying to me today, they'll come along with things, and they might come, they mightn't come. That's all in God's hands. I can't do nothing about it. Well, if I could bring them, I would bring them. But it's not up to me, is it? But the Spirit of God could draw them. Think of this here. Think of this for a moment. People think of ways to get people into a church building. Me and you could have ideas. How could we fill this hall? Well, you could run a supper, or you could have tea and coffee, but I don't believe in any of that. I'm telling you, that would be all good, but I don't believe in that. Do you know why? When God filled the ark with animals, who brought them in? I'll guarantee you, Noah didn't go out with a stick to wheel in the lions and stuff, did he? He didn't. God brought them in. They obeyed the voice of God and they came in. Me and you, how did we come to God? How did we come to God? Who come and found us where we were? Nobody. The Lord did. No man seeks God. God seeks man. Is that right? God seeks man, and it is God that can do it. If the Spirit of God moves, that's the draw. That's the draw. That's how many believes that's the draw we need, the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's come and pray. Now look, all the more things I'm mentioning, you could do them. There would be nothing wrong with doing them. Don't misunderstand me. If you had coffee and different things to help people, that would be good. I know people does that. And I think it's good what they're doing. But I'm telling you, when God did it, when you read the Welsh Revival, there was nothing like that. God moved. But there was men and women who lay before God. I'll tell you what, they hadn't time for anything else, only to lay before God. They never went to work or nothing. Some of them lay before God, crying, fasting, seeking God. God put the hunger in them. Isn't it the truth? If me and you said, well, we'll sit up all night tonight and we'll seek God, well, we couldn't do it. We'd be falling asleep. But if the Spirit of God moves you, it's surprising what you can do. But if God did move you, you wouldn't even be tired. How many believes that? I saw people in Africa fasting and praying all night, and they're in all the meetings the next day, and they weren't even tired. But God led them to do it. But that God's still the same tonight. Let's come and seek His face tonight in prayer.